Hello and welcome to the 111th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, we did our first post-game show after the Troy game, and we said a lot of things, and they actually don't have a problem with us coming back. But I can tell you, Saturday night, I was not feeling the best about that loss to Troy.
Yeah, I think we were a little down. You know, I know we tried to pick out the positives and looked at it from that side of the fence. But at the time, that was a very difficult loss to swallow. And when you go through the stat sheet like we did, and again, thanks to the athletic department for giving us the opportunity and also getting us the stats right there. It was amazing that we lost that game because in pretty much every statistical category, we were the better team. But when it came down to it, we just didn't make the plays we needed to make. And that's always tough when you lose games that way. If Troy had come in here and just, you know, slobber knocked us and beat us by 24 points or something like that, it would have been a little bit different. You wouldn't have felt great, but at least you said, hey, the better team won. I don't really think that happened Saturday night, Evan.
No, it was really, and I brought this up the other day, it's a Jekyll and Hyde team. And one thing you had to look at is Derek Thompson. After that performance against Kansas, and especially looking back and seeing what Kansas did to Oklahoma, you got to say, you know, Derek was on and he looked great. And then, you know, the previous week there were some questions, but he was on and we're like, okay, we're ready to go. And then he came up short and did not have the touch against Troy.
He didn't. And the disturbing trend that we're starting to see, if you look at the K-State game and then you look at the Troy game, Derek is a pretty darn good quarterback between the 20s. But, boy, in the red zone, he struggles. You know, we all saw the passes that were overthrown. He just wasn't on his game at all against Troy, and he would tell you that himself. Again, you know, the same thing we said before, we need Derek Thompson to be successful. I think the coaches realize that. I think the other players realize that. And it's not a slam against McNulty or Brett Osborne, but the reality of it is Derek Thompson has a bigger upside than those two guys do right now. Now, we lose a couple games, those guys may come into play. But right now, the best chance at having a winning season lies with Derek Thompson's arm.
So, when you talk about Derek Thompson, we talk about the plays, you got to go back to the play calling also, because we did seem to air it out, and he had a good touch on the ball to Breland Chancellor. I'll definitely give him that. There's a few that were dropped. But when you look at the play calling, the short, quick drop plays and quick slants that we were running against Kansas State, we did not run those against Troy. And you got to wonder, it works so well. You know, three quarters of the way through this game, could we not get, okay, let's try something different.
Yeah, the game plan's a big question mark. It seemed like we were going for the long ball sometimes, and of course Derek wasn't hitting that. And then in other times, we were doing, you know, people brought up, we looked like the Buick. You know, it would look like Dickey ball, which worked real well against Kansas State, but not so much against Troy. I think you got to ding Chico a little bit about the game plan calling. But that being said, if you go back and look at the replay, some of the guys on the board are talking about it right now in the chat room. If you go back and look at the replay, boy, there are some wide open receivers that got missed that could easily have won this ball game for us. So I think game plan was not the best, but again, it comes down to execution. And I really think, you know, Derek Thompson just had an off night.
Do you feel like this was the first time this year that the offensive line might have just let a little bit too much through? It seems like Derek was kind of scrambling back there more than he had from the previous games.
You know, yes, I think it was not the best night we've seen out of the offensive line, but I also don't think the offensive line lost this game. I think they gave him enough protection to be successful. Hey, you know, I think we all overlooked Troy. Let's keep in mind Troy went on the went up against an SEC team, I keep wanting to say on the road, it was actually at home, and lost by 3 points and gave them all they could handle. Maybe Troy's a little bit better than we think. Maybe Troy might make some noise in the Sun Belt. It's too early to say that right now, but let's give a little bit of credit to Troy and what they accomplished. They may have a pretty good team this year.
Well, they have a pretty good team, but you also were hoping that we had a good team. You were hoping what we did against LSU, what we did against Kansas State, especially after their victory against Oklahoma, you got to think that we had a pretty good team here, and so we should have been able to put away Troy. This game was a huge game. Everybody was like, this could be it. 2-2, the first time since, 97, I guess it was.
It's just so silly
that we were in that situation, but we are. And a lot of people were looking at it. It was parents' night. There was a good crowd there. They said the attendance was 21,823. I still haven't figured out how they do the attendance numbers, because I thought there was more people there than there were at against Texas Southern. A lot of the parents, the adult, you know, the family members are sitting in that bowl, the U shape down there. Yeah. So, but you know, I think a lot of us that have watched the program for so long and really wanted it to build, you just had that horrible feeling in your gut when it was over, because it was another typical North Texas missed opportunity.
We don't do ourselves any favors. We just never have. I know that sounds dark, but it's just a stark reality for this program. We had the momentum going into that Troy game. We had the fans getting excited. You saw it on the board. You saw it in the tailgating. There was optimism, and that was a game we needed to win. Now, is the season over? Well, heck no. I mean, we still have a shot at the Sun Belt, even though some people think we're out of it. It's anybody's ball game until the very end, usually every year in the Sun Belt. So, no, you don't give up, but we're diehards. I mean, the guys in the chat room right now, the people on the board for the most part, we're diehard fans. We're going to be there through thick and thin. The challenge we have are those fence sitters that are kind of wanting to dip a toe in the water before they get in.
Quite honestly, I'm surprised so many of people have dipped a toe in the water in the past 10 years. I mean, when you think about it, we have grown the fan base. We've grown. We've had great facilities. We've had all this come along. The only thing we haven't had are wins to show with it. I mean, you know, the whole situation with Dodge, you know, the last few years of Dickey, Dodge, you know, everything was just the fact that we managed to get as many fans and the tailgating situation the way it is now with those runs. Yeah, you gotta feel good about that. But it's still a gut punch every time we do something like this.
Well, you know, and again, it's one game. There's a lot of, you know, I'll tell you right now, and I've even put this out on the board. You go out and take care of business against Florida Atlantic. That's a game we're favored to win. You win that game. You go to Houston, can beat Houston in Houston. That's two wins in a row that you've got. And I think you get a lot of people back on your side. So there is an opportunity here. You know, it's not all doom and gloom, but it does, at least at the time of the postgame show, you know, we want to have sort of a raw feeling from a fan's perspective at the game.
And we got it.
We gave it to them.
So Harry and I, we were, and this is kind of a little background here. Harry and I got to go up and use one of the extra radio rooms up there, which is like a little radio booth. Now we were told that they had to use it, and so we were going to get it after the game. So we went in, we walked in at the very end of the game, and there was some guy and some bigwig, I guess, from Troy in there, who told us, "Hey, go ahead, do whatever you need to do."
He was nice.
He was really very cool, and he was like, "Hey, and there's plenty of food here." So the spreads they have up there are pretty good. But Harry and I set up, and we just started talking. One side of us was the coaches for Troy, and then the other side of it was one of the North Texas production deals over there. I think it might have been the coaches. And we were just kind of looking over our shoulder. We'd hear people come in, you know, just to check, maybe grab some food. And all I could think of was, my God, we are never going to get to do this again, because all we are talking about is how horrible we feel and how bad this was and how horrible. And the whole time we're talking, McCartney's up on the screen just like shaking his head and throwing his arms.
He
wasn't happy. Just the overall feeling in the whole place. And you walked out in the hallway, and it's not like the hallway and up at the club level.
No.
This is just a long, vacant hallway with nobody there in a ghost town. Harry and I packed up our everything, got out of there as quick as we could, and it was almost like we feel like we just stole something, because we were just so negative on the stuff. But I mean, that was the raw feeling you had. It was the same feeling we had. We're fans, the same feeling everybody had in the parking lot. You just felt like, once again, we came up short.
Yeah, and you know, it's one of those things that when you look at Coach Mack, you know, I know I put on the board, you know, Coach Mack's going to lead us to the promised land. And I believe that still to this day. But, you know, when you see.
It's just a long walk.
Yeah, it's a marathon, but we're going to get there. But no, I mean, it is frustrating sometimes to be a fan, especially of a North Texas fan. I think that it's too early for us to be jumping ship. And there's a lot of opportunities that will present themselves as the season goes on. And each day that goes by after the loss, that becomes clearer to me.
All right, so let's just go through some of the stats here, because obviously there's a few good things to look at for the production of the team. Because, I mean, you had some players. Obviously, Breland Chancellor. What can you say about Breland Chancellor? He's a one-man band, or at least it seemed that way, looking at the stats and the things. He scored the touchdowns. He does everything.
In that game, the touchdown, singular.
Right.
But yeah, you know, four receptions for 107 yards and a touchdown, you know, had a 50-yard reception, you know, and then, you know, rushing, he had three rushes for 36 yards, a long of 28, you know, was averaging 12 yards per rush. That's pretty salty.
Okay, punt returns. We discussed this briefly during the post game. He's fair catching everything. Now, do you think that that's just he's got the hands, let's let him get it and fair catch it? Or do they not want him to get hurt? Obviously, with the way his production is on offense, we need him on offense. It was good to see a spark on a punt return. Or, you know, I know they had a decent punter, but do you think that was just a calculator or just work out that way?
Here's what's interesting. You know, I was on the sidelines in the first half, and I know on one of those, it might have been the second punt return that he fair caught. I saw Coach Riddle just come unglued. So now that could be because of a cover, you know, coverage breakdown, or, you know, that could be a myriad of things. But my sense on it was he was not happy about the fact that Breland had fair caught the ball. Let's be honest. I don't think fair catching is like walking a hitter in baseball. You've got to kind of look at the punt and read the punt and make a determination based on what's happening at that moment. But I will tell you this, it sure felt like we left a lot out there in terms of opportunity with Breland Chancellor and the punt returns. Someone on the board said, oh, well, it's clear that Breland's not a good punt returner. I say hogwash to that. I think the guy's not getting enough opportunities. And, you know, you wonder if Mac's relentless pursuit of never having a turnover plays into this too, because let's be honest. He just, I mean, and it's a good thing. That's why we won a lot of ball games that we didn't think we'd win last year. So we don't turn the ball over. I mean, that Mac just despises it. But you don't want that to bleed over into special teams where you can actually make some plays and help win ball games.
So, once again, if you look at the time of possession, first down, rushing, it all comes back to, hey, we look pretty good. We should have won the game. It's not a tale of the stats.
Yeah, you can boil over these stats, but at the end of the game, you know, net yards rushing, we had 186, they had 108. Net yards passing, we had 236. They had a little more with 274, but it was close. A lot of that came with that big, long, beautiful touchdown pass that they threw.
Right, right.
But
time of possession, we had it until the fourth quarter when we just couldn't get it back.
Yeah, and you know, but the possession time for the entire ball game, we did win 33 minutes, 37 seconds to 26 minutes and 23 seconds. So we won the time of possession. And then the thing that jumps out when you look at these stats, and I hate going over stats, but there are some glaring ones this week. We were 2 of 14 on third down conversions. Man, you just can't do that and win a ball game.
No. Also, I thought was interesting is Troy. They had 7 receivers with at least 2 catches.
Very distributed it.
They were
very
it was
evenly.
All over. Yeah. You know, they had 2 guys, both of them with 7 catches apiece. And you know what they were? Because none of these are long yardage here. What they were those out in the flat, you know, just throwing it out there, 1-2 yards, see if they could get somewhere with them. And I know one point we were 3rd and 1, and something it was like 3rd and 1. It was something like that. And we knew they were going to do that same exact pass, and we were playing 10 yards off. And they did it. They threw it. The guy got it. He fell forward, and he's got his first down. I just couldn't figure out why we couldn't defend that.
We're nervous about our secondary right now. We don't want them to get beaten on a big play. And an example of that was the big long touchdown pass that Troy threw right over Zach Whitfield. You know, I mean, now that was a beautiful pass. Even if you were a great cornerback and seasoned, you know, you might lose that battle. But that's what they're trying to prevent. A lot of times it ends up hurting them because it allows teams to get long drives. And I know exactly what you're saying. Boy, if we had Freddie Warner back at corner right now, and it was discouraging to hear that he had a setback in his recovery from the ACL replacement or surgery. So I don't know that he's going to be available for Florida Atlantic, and he's a guy that could really help that defense.
Well, all about UNT just posted FAU is the only team with less passing offense. Well, that's good. I will say this. I know somebody posted, and I actually posted a response, and I haven't even gone back to see what they said, but somebody was really going on and on about our defensive ends. And I'm not sorry, not the defensive backs, saying, you know, they're horrible backfield, blah, 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 blah. We have horrible, you know, defensive backs. You know, I just feel like that I've seen a lot of good things from a really young defensive back group, but the lack of a pass rush has caused the situation where we cannot, you know, those guys are out there and eventually they're going to be, you know, when he's got that much time to throw the ball, there's going to be a reception somewhere.
You hit the nail on the head, Evan. We are really struggling in our pass rush right now. And it's that hidden thing because it's not glaring like, you know, Derek Thompson overthrowing the ball or Zach Olin, a name we haven't mentioned yet tonight, missing a field goal. It's not as personalized as that. But if you watch, you're absolutely right. In every game we played this year, for the most part, and with the exception probably of Texas Southern, look how much time that quarterback has to throw the ball. And, you know, when you run blitzes, those can get picked up, and then that exposes you even more in the secondary. I think, you know, you look at this team, I like the secondary from a youth standpoint. We're going to get better there. We need to add some more pieces there, but I like where we're going there. The area that concerns me the most is defensive line.
Defensive line. Now, that same post that I was just discussing, somebody was calling out Zach Whitfield, and I'm just going to come back and say, and I've said it before, Zach Whitfield, I think, is a great, promising young player. He's had several interceptions already this year. You know, he had three tackles this week to assist. You know, when you start calling out guys on a situation where we can't get a pass rush on, and you got a bunch of young players out there, you got to take a step back because it's not one guy out there that's causing the issues. So I see a lot of things, but, you know, I just saw somebody said we're third in sacks and we're first in interceptions in the Sun Belt. And that's fine with me. The bottom line is the offense has got to put points on the board. We held them to 14 points, and that's good.
That's enough to win.
That's easily enough to win, but if you can't score, I mean, that's the problem. We could not put any points on the board.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just, I mean, you look back at it, and at the end of the day, our wins and losses go through Derek Thompson. If Derek Thompson plays well, we got a chance to beat anybody in the belt, you could argue. But if Derek Thompson is playing like he did the other night, we could lose to anybody, and that's kind of scary because – you talk about momentum and always losing that momentum. To me, the momentum in aggregate for this season is let's get past 5 wins. Let's show progression to the recruits and get the guys to buy in the program because we're showing, you know, that we're increasing our win total every year. Man, you know, it's going to be a lot harder to beat a team like Monroe that we thought before the season was an easy win.
They're strong.
They're going to be one of the best teams in the belt this year. And frankly – you know, there aren't any, you know, this Florida Atlantic game, I'm sitting
this
here.
This is our easiest game.
Well,
right?
And you say that, let's be honest. You know, they beat Wagner, and that was embarrassing because they only beat them 7-3. But then they've had 3 losses, 1 to Middle Tennessee, which was, that was pretty scary for them. But then their last 2 losses have been against the number 1 and the number 7 team in the country, Alabama and Georgia. They lost Alabama 56-20, and I'm sorry, they lost Alabama 40-7, and they lost to Georgia 56-20. You know what? We don't know anything about this team. We really don't. We've played those juggernauts like LSU, and you know how those scores can get, Evan. The truth of the matter is, yeah, Florida Atlantic on the outside looking in may seem like they're a win, but we don't really know. And we're also playing them on the road, so that's going to give them a little bit of an advantage in their new stadium. I don't think we should get too hasty about just expecting that we're going to win the game.
Yeah,
on
I don't
Saturday.
Think we expect. I mean, I don't think we're getting expecting that we that this is going to be an easy win. But what I think it is this is the best shot we have in the belt of a pushover. I mean, this is our best shot at a win that should be not a big rallying effort. So, you know, to see them rally, they need to make sure that they come with their A game. But as far as the rest of the belt goes, this is going to be it's going to be an uphill battle because it starts with Florida Atlantic. But you look at some of the other teams we're playing. You know, we play Lafayette 2 weeks after that, and you know they're not exactly a pushover. So you know it's going to get tougher in the belt.
And I love the chat room because these guys they know what they're talking about. Valley Boys coming in here saying other than when we sacked Troy's quarterback, and we did have two sacks. One was for 2 yards, so I don't really consider that a major sack, but. He said, other than when we sacked Troy's quarterback, no other pressure was put on the quarterback. Very few quarterback hurries. And he's absolutely right. Sometimes we focus too much on sacks and say, oh, we want to get a bunch of sacks. And you're right. Sacks can help. But you also want to rush that quarterback and make him force him to make bad throws. That's where we're really struggling right now. We're giving him opportunities to make big plays because he has so much time.
UNT 90 just put, we are tied at 50th in the country in sacks with 8. That's middle of the road. I'm not too concerned yet. That is middle of the road. 3 of those came against LSU in what I think was a kind of a weird game. But, you know, we did have some good things there, but there was some corner blitzes going on there. And I don't think we have the confidence to do that with every
game.
Not
quite yet.
We didn't really do that this past week. And the thing is, the way that Troy moved that ball with those quick out passes like that, the corner blitzes would have just absolutely killed us. So there's a lot of different pieces in there moving around that you gotta think. But before we go into too much of the Sun Belt, because I want to talk about a few of the teams we're gonna be playing and a couple of the other upcoming games and what are our odds on these, we gotta speak to the special team situation.
Yeah, I mean it was a killer. I mean, it. You could look at it and say we had 3, you know, very easily makeable field goals. They were all missed. 2 of them by Zach Olin, and then Mac, you know, pulled the plug on Olin. I've seen some debate over whether he should have done that or not. Frankly, I don't blame him for doing that. Then they brought in the backup guy, and he missed, what, like a 24-yarder. So.
Yeah, we went from 2 wide left to 1 wide right.
And it wasn't leg. All those kicks had length.
It was pure aiming. And you got to wonder where we're at because Olin should be – I mean, we are the guys that put out good kickers. We've had too many blocked. We've had too many missed. And that's 9 points we left out there. 9. Now, granted – Troy left 3 out there. They missed a long field goal, but it was straight. It just wasn't long enough. So when you look at that, those 9 points really killed us. And the run back Kansas State had against us, special teams all around is just hurting us.
Usually it's a sign that you don't have the athletes. In this particular case, you know, who thought Zach Olin was going to have this kind of year? I mean, Some fans that will remain unnamed have pointed out to me that Zach Olin had a very impressive freshman year, and that if you look at his years after that it's been going steadily downhill. I haven't had enough time to dig into that, but let's just be honest. I mean, you've got at the Division I level to be able to rely on a kicker to make those field goals every single time. I mean, that's, you know, you've just, those aren't 60-yard field goals.
PATs. We missed one at Kansas State. So, those are just inexcusable things. And so, yeah, that's got to be, you know, and we know that was an area of focus, but it's got to be, we got to kick it away. We got to, you know, Atterbury, I guess, is the one thing that's probably looking good on special teams.
Atterbury's been consistent. He's a great player, and that's what great players do. They're just good every single time. Now, Atterbury's had his moments just like anybody. They're human, but no, field goal, you know, to be honest with you, there were times in that game, I think we went for it on 4th down when we wouldn't have otherwise. Knowing that we just can't, I mean, what does that do to your offensive game plan when you pretty much are worried every time you take an easy field goal? That's devastating. Yeah. I mean, a defense can plan against that, and I'm sure you think Florida Atlantic isn't planning against that. I mean, they're looking at it like, hey, I don't think North Texas can make a field goal in this game.
They're only here's a good stat UNT 90 grad put on here. There are only two teams in the nation with less punt return yardage than North Texas, and those last two teams have zero. Is that protection? We got Breland Chancellor back there. There's no reason why we should not have better punt situation. I mean, better punt return.
Yeah,
yards.
And I mean, hey, Kent Rowell's a good coach. He's been some big places, but at the end of the day, if you're a North Texas fan, you're not as concerned about results when he was at Colorado and Boise and all these other places. You're concerned about results in Apogee and at North Texas.
Well, we're not trying to figure out who should be our punt returner either. I mean, that's the thing. We got Breland back there. You know, that was the other thing that I brought up on the postgame show that I'll bring up again was they knew Breland could be dangerous, and they put a game plan to make sure he did not run any back. And they nailed it on the head because they were doing those pooch punts. Yeah. First of all, most of his were fair caught because they were high. But then they did that pooch punt. We kind of ran out to the side, did the rugby thing. And that guy could have probably run for a first down. The problem was we were, I guess, so at that point, so set on trying to get back to help out Breland that we just let him go. And he had three guys in front of him. We had one North Texas going against those three. He could have easily made a first down. So I guess we finally did try to go for it. It would have been different, but it was crazy.
Special teams is so strategic, and you just got to say – I don't know who Troy's special teams coordinator is, but whoever he is, it's like him and Kent Riddle at a chessboard and checkmate. I mean, you know, they at every – that kickoff in the second half, I mean
– Oh, the onside kick.
The onside
completely
kick.
Blew us off.
We had no awareness of that at all. And that's a special teams coach looking at film saying, hey, man, these guys are running straight back and not even looking for the ball. And so tip your hat.
Completely caught us off guard. Coming back after half, everybody's excited, ready to go. Boom. They get the ball back on an onside kick. They're fired up, caught us flat. So that was a huge moment, and we shouldn't have let that happen.
Well, we're digging the negativity hole pretty deep tonight. Right. I want to let me shift gears a little bit and say what I am feeling good about and what I am proud about, and that's the defense. You mentioned it earlier. You hold a team like Troy to 14 points, you ought to have a chance to win that ball game. I think our defense is playing pretty darn well. There's some new young guys that are starting to make a name for themselves. Some of the older guys, you know, a guy like Laramie Lee, who just got mentioned by All About UNT here in the chat, he's third in the Sun Belt in total tackles. That's pretty impressive for a sophomore now?
Yeah.
And then, you know, Zach Orr, guy is – you know, as good as the Sun Belt has.
Oh, there's no doubt. Zach Orr looked great. He had an interception. It was great to see him do that. I think he's a good leader back there, and it's good to see the defense playing good.
Yeah, and All About UNT also mentions that Derek Akune is 13th in the Sun Belt Conference in tackles, which that's another guy that's young. He's just a sophomore. He's going to be here for a number of years. Hey, you know, with all the issues that we've got right now, the one thing that's consistent is our defense is playing pretty darn well. And I'll tell you what, that's how you can win ball games. So that's something we can hang our hat on a little bit. We need to work on that pass rush. Secondary is a little questionable at times. A lot of that's due to the pass rush. But there's definitely reason for optimism.
What about McCoy? Is he going to be back? What's the situation with McCoy?
You know, I saw Sarge on the sidelines. He wasn't even in shoulder pads. I think it's a lingering, you know, deal with him. McCarty says day to day. So we could see him on Saturday, to be honest with you. But he's a guy that could help. I mean, he's a guy, you know, he's an all Sun Belt caliber performer at defensive end, and we could use him right now. It would help us in depth tremendously. That's a guy that you'd like to see back. I mentioned earlier, Freddie Warner, that's a guy, he's a lockdown corner in the Sun Belt, guys. And if we could get him back, that would help our pass rush. Because, you know, we could put him one-on-one against another team's top receiver and do some damage. So there's some guys that could also help this defense get even better.
All right, so before we go into Sun Belt speak here, I'll just say this. We lost by 7 points. We felt and we still feel like we lost by 40 to a horrible team. And that's just not the case. So when you look at it, I think maybe our expectations were just getting the better of us, but we're ready to turn that corner. And I think that's just the bottom. We are so ready to turn the corner.
Well, and let's keep in mind, Troy already has a loss in the Sun Belt. They lost to Middle Tennessee. I'm sure they're looking at that game, kicking themselves, saying, how did that happen? But the reality of it is that you can still win the Sun Belt. You can still go to a bowl game with a loss in the Sun Belt. Now, we got some tough teams to play, to beat, to win all these games. It's going to be challenges, but there's still opportunity out there, and I think that's what you hang your hat on. A couple wins, Florida Atlantic on the road, Houston on the road. Come back here and have a good crowd on a Tuesday night. Things could get better.
Right, and let's just hope next time we call a timeout to decide what play we're going to run, that we get the right players in when we actually run that play. Those just drive me bonkers.
Yeah.
All right, so with that, let's go ahead and talk about Florida Atlantic. Harry, tell me about Florida Atlantic. What do they do well? What do they not do well?
Well, it's really hard to get an accurate reading. They played Wagner, which was just a team I'd never heard of before. They've had two of the best teams in college football, and then they lost to Middle Tennessee, which they lost 31-17. That was early in the season, and that could be a situation with a new coach and a new scheme. They might not have had all their stuff together. So I think that if you look at their statistics, they can run the ball a little bit. They've got a running back by the name of Damian Fortner that's put together 162 yards, averages about 4 yards per carry, and had a 43-yard long touchdown run. Their quarterback is looking like Graham Wilbert. He's got about a 65.9% completion percentage, 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. That's not a bad ratio. Not a lot of touchdowns, but not too shabby. To me, they're a pretty balanced looking team. They like to run the ball. They also throw it a little bit. Honestly, with that new coach there, Pelini, I don't know that we really have a good handle on exactly how they're gonna approach this game, and that's gonna make it interesting. I mean, that's gonna again, we're on the road. They're a team that's like North Texas. They're a program like North Texas that's starting to invest in the program. You know, they had Schnellenberger there for years and years. Now they've got the new stadium. They've hired a big name coach to replace Schnellenberger. They're looking for wins. They're looking for success. And we've got that target on our back. No one talked about it. But Troy loved beating us, knowing that we were going to Conference USA. Well, here's another team that didn't get into Conference USA, even though Florida International did. This would be a huge win for them. So they're going to be fired up to beat North Texas.
All right, so let's look at some of the scores from last week, just to talk about the belt and what we're against. Obviously, we talked about the belt is getting better. The year we leave the belt, it is getting better. But if you look at some of the scores, obviously the one that stands out, and we discussed it, and everybody knows about it, is Monroe, who darn near beat Baylor. They had a fumble that kind of took them out of it. But, Monroe is the real deal. If you had doubts when they played and beat
Arkansas.
They beat Arkansas. They darn near beat Auburn. And then they played Baylor, and I think Baylor was just thinking, oh, this is going to be an easy deal, but no, it wasn't. And they barely lost to that. That's going to be a huge game that we're going to have to play against them.
I mean, Baylor just took SMU out to the woodshed and just tanned their hide on national television. I was shocked. I thought Monroe would be okay, but I had no idea they were going to hang with Baylor like they did. That quarterback, Colton Browning, I think is his name. Wow. I mean, that guy can run like the wind. He's shifty. I mean, I'm telling you, I threw out on the board today, I think Western Kentucky's the best team in the belt, and we'll get to them next. But Louisiana Monroe is right up there, and they're they're running neck and neck, the both of them.
They are doing good, and that's probably they're 1-3, 1-3, 2-3.
Yeah, because they lost to Auburn in overtime. Overtime.
Lost to Baylor.
And then they just lost to Baylor with that fumble, like you said.
That's such a weird deal that you think. I mean, that they're going to sit there going, they're like us. How did we miss these opportunities? But they're still looking good. Florida Atlantic, we discussed them. They lost to Alabama 47. Louisville beat Florida International 28-21. Louisville's ranked 19th. And
yeah.
They lost by 7 points for International.
Hey, if there's a good thing this season.
I mean, they beat Florida International by 7, excuse me.
Yeah, but not by much. And yeah. You know what? Honestly, you know Florida National's good.
Mm.
And you know it's a blessing that we don't have to play them this year.
In that stadium. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, with you know, that's a nuance of the schedule this year, but we do not have to play one of the best teams in the belt, which is FIU.
Yeah, that's good. Arkansas State whooped up on Alcorn State for the pillow fight of the week there. Mississippi State beat South Alabama. South Alabama, of course, the new team. Western Kentucky beat Southern Miss.
That
42-17.
Hey man, that was a mind blower because Southern Miss, as you know, I mean Southern Miss is the cream of the crop of Conference USA.
Yeah.
And they seem to be in the championship game or going to a bowl. I mean, they've been good for a long time. For Western Kentucky to go in and win that game like that in such convincing fashion, watch out, guys. Western Kentucky's for real.
So we're sitting here going to Conference USA, and Conference USA is making fun of SMU and Houston going, it's Big East, things falling apart, it's not that good. Sunbelt sitting here saying the same thing about Conference USA because there's some teams in Conference USA, Houston,
yeah.
When you see wins like this by Sun Belt teams, it's
– Hey, look, you know, I laugh at that because, to me, that whole argument is so short-sighted. Here's the bottom line. Did North Texas go to Conference USA because they were going to have a better record than the Sun Belt in most seasons? That's not the main reason. The main reason they went to Conference USA is because the teams in Conference USA – support their programs at a very high level,
right?
And they are there are academic institutions that we want to be aligned with. There are geographical reasons that we want to be aligned, i.e., four teams in the state of Texas where now we have zero. So I'm not saying that to cast stones at the belt. The belt is getting better every year. We have seen that in the last couple of weeks. But at the end of the day, I would wager that any Sun Belt team, given the offer to go to Conference USA, would take that offer, hands down. So, hey, it's great. I want the Sun Belt to be successful this year. We're in the Sun Belt this year. But at the end of the day, I'm still thrilled about going to Conference USA. Even if Conference USA has a down season, I think over time, the investment that those schools are making is going to make it a good thing for North Texas.
Exactly. I completely agree. And if you've been to Monroe, you've seen their facilities. I mean, I'm not going to knock Monroe, but they don't exactly have a huge thing building there. I mean, you know, it's they're going to catch lightning occasionally, like this year. But I think long term, it's going to be hard to sustain that.
The funny thing is, when we were at the tailgate after the Texas Southern game, we listened and heard that they had beaten Arkansas, and everybody cheered and stuff about Monroe. That's a huge victory. You know, it hadn't been that many years ago Monroe beat Alabama, if you recall.
That's right.
And somebody at the tailgate, I'm trying to remember who it was, brought up the fact, it might have been UNT90, brought up the fact, what if North Texas had beaten Arkansas and or in Alabama? You know, think
exactly.
if you take the wins that Louisiana Monroe has been able to with limited resources, I mean, they struggle in all their other sports. They put all their eggs into the football basket. What if North Texas just had a couple things like that to hang our hat on?
We never have a victory like that. I mean, the last time we had a huge – okay, we came close to beating Kansas State. They were not as good as they are now. The last time we had one that just piqued everybody's interest was maybe Baylor in Denton, or it has to go back to the Texas Tech win. We just cannot.
And Texas Tech was not a power
No, they
program.
Weren't, but it was still a Big 12 deal, and that was still
yeah,
a big
that
thing.
That was a big but deal, but
that's it's just not we just can't ever get the string those along.
Whenever
swear,
we
man,
do, it's whenever we do. I'm trying to think who said it on the board today. Somebody said, you know, if the sun and the moons can all go into alignment someday, and we can get a signature win, like that, think what will happen to the program.
Oh, dude, I mean, people would go nuts. Skyrocket. It would be so easy. You know, the ticket salespeople have just been wishing for that for years.
Oh,
you know,
that's
just how it is. Well, Patrick that sits up with us, you know, he's always saying that if we ever start winning like that, he's done.
Oh, he's going to quit?
He's going to quit. He likes being the proverbial underdog, the forever underdog that we are, and always hope almost there. I think it can, but never
sort of the Cubs equivalent of the Cubs fan.
Yeah, but once we're on top, he's done because he's going to have to find another cause.
Good for him.
And this has been a 15-year-long cause for greatness. Now, I mean, you know, the New Orleans Bulls and everything were great. I'm not going to knock that, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I do.
All right, so let's week five. We play Florida Atlantic. North Texas plays at 4:00 on Saturday. For those of you, it's on ESPN3. Of course, we will be having the viewing party at Rudy's and Allen.
Yes, UNT 90 grad. Am I saying his name wrong? I'm sorry.
UNT 90 grad, yeah.
Yeah, UNT 90 grad does a great job out there putting that thing together. And if you are in that vicinity, or even if you're not and want to make a little bit of a drive, that's going to be a good time to have out there. And I know you've made a couple of those, Evan. And
I have made a couple of those. They're great because it's right there by Cabela's and all those places to eat and everything if you want to do something else after there. But if you go to Rudy's, try the prime rib. I know it's more expensive than the rest of the barbecue, but the barbecued prime rib is awesome. So make sure you can make it there for that. And watch it with fans. It's on ESPN3, so unless you have the setup, the Xbox, all that to watch it, this is your best bet because it's going to wire it through to watch it up on the screen and have it through the PA. So it's a great thing. And you're with North Texas fans, so it's always good to sit and watch. So definitely do that if you can't watch it, at the house. That's games at 4:00. There's an early game. Middle Tennessee plays Georgia Tech. Troy in South Alabama. Louisiana Monroe, Tulane. I think Tulane's going to get ripped here.
Well, I mean, I think Troy State's going to beat South Alabama probably pretty handily. Georgia Tech's probably going to beat Middle Tennessee pretty handily.
Right.
The Arkansas State-Western Kentucky game really intrigues me a little bit.
Well, you saw it, Tulane, what happened to them against Tulsa. So Tulane's not exactly, Tulsa beat up on them pretty good. So that's why I say Monroe is going to handle it.
Yeah, Monroe's going to win that game handily. But I think the game of the week in my mind, well, there's two game of the week.
I know what you're talking about, the next two. Western Kentucky and Arkansas State and Florida International and Louisiana Lafayette.
And, you know, that Western Kentucky-Arkansas State game's at 6. So I hope it's on so we can watch it after ours is over because that'll be a good game to watch.
Dude, they're calling you out for saying Troy State again. I think I said it too.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? It's
last week when we posted, we did the whole thing, and three times it said Troy State. And I don't remember who it was, Golfing Gomez or somebody says, Troy State. That's where we're at now.
All About UNT says, keep on saying it too.
Yeah, well, it's hard, man. And, you know, we gig everybody for saying North Texas State. But
it just rolls off your tongue.
It does, man. Like Southwest Texas State. Now, they changed to Texas State. That's a little easier. But
Southwest Texas
Southwest State. Yeah, they should have changed that, man. That was kind of wacky.
But, you know, those are two real, real neat matchups in my mind. Mm-hmm. And those are games that will be interesting. They're both on at 6 Central. But Louisiana Lafayette. You know, they've been kind of up and down a little bit, but you know they got a good program. And then Florida International, they're always tough. But that Arkansas State-Western Kentucky game, man, that's the game I'm really interested in watching.
I'm interested
it's
in
a
the
passing
North.
Offense. Arkansas State throws the ball, and Western Kentucky's smash mouth, you know, run it up the gut. It'd be a really interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I'm interested in the North Texas-Florida Atlantic game, but, I mean, that'll be a good one too.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Just kidding.
I understand.
They're at the same time. So is that one on TV?
Florida, I'm not sure.
I mean, the Western Kentucky game on TV? Because that would be a good one to watch, especially since we'll be playing those teams here shortly. You know, we play Florida Atlantic this week, and we all hope we can come away with the victory. But then we're on the road in Houston. Hopefully nobody decided they're not going to go. Hopefully everybody purchased their tickets early. I will be there, full family in tow. You will be
there. Yeah, I will be there. You know, it's funny. I bet you that we get a lot more people after we beat Florida Atlantic. What do you want to bet? How many? I bet you there's some guys in the chat room right now that have not pulled the trigger on going.
They're waiting.
They're waiting to see if we beat Florida Atlantic, and they don't want to expose themselves.
This is such an easy game to make. It's Houston. And, you know, we're talking about next year. We're going to make all of the – we're talking about making all of the –
No, we're going to
make
all all of the away games. And we always go to all the home games, so that we're going to make every game.
Now, we're saying in every conference game.
Yes.
Because I'm not so sure about the Georgia.
No, every conference game.
Oh, and then we play Ohio?
Yeah, well, Ohio, and we also play Ball State. Ball State's here, and Ohio's there.
Yeah, so
and Ohio's going to be good, too.
Yeah, I don't like. I mean, I don't mind making those trips up that direction, too. Maybe parlay into that into a it depends on when it is in a week.
Well, you got to go up to Ball State that year and see the win to open the season. That was
was a Thursday night, and then we worked it into seeing Notre Dame play on that Saturday. So it was like a college weekend. The only thing that would have made it great is SMU almost got beat by Stephen F. Austin. If that would have happened, then it would have been a perfect weekend. But anyway, so that may be kind of cool. I don't mind those trips. But, you know, the thing is, and everybody start gearing up for this because we're going to try to do this next year. We're going to go to every away game, new conference, because when you think about it, the worst we could do is El Paso or New Orleans. That's the furthest away games.
There is no more anticipation that you and I have. It's like a kid on Christmas Day when that schedule gets released for Conference USA.
When is that going to happen? I know RV said that they were working that out like 3 or 4 weeks ago. So you got to wonder when that's going to be brought up and when we're. I mean, maybe it is after the season, but I'm anxious to see it so we can start planning.
So then we can start planning our trips, and I know that there's some guys on the board. UNT 90 came up to me at the tailgate and said, "Hey man, I think I'm in." You know, in terms of the go to all the away games together. So if you're interested in doing that with us, we're gonna throw some stuff out there on the board and try to organize it as best as we can. But that's something we're excited about doing next year.
Yeah, we'll do a GoMeanGreen.com hotel deal.
Yeah,
And maybe we'll all meet up at a Sonic or something.
And if we play UTEP, we can all go over to Juarez to get. Maybe not.
It's so close to New Mexico State. Why don't we just go up there and watch their game, too? So that'll be fun. But we're getting ahead of ourselves because we've got Houston. We've got the Tuesday night game against Lafayette after that. We got several weeks here, and everybody's concerned about that Tuesday night game. The athletic department's obviously concerned because they're giving away tickets almost. Buy one, get two free, and that comes
with the ESPN2 for $10 or something like that. Yeah,
it's absolutely so. There's a lot of good things going on. So, this was going great till All About UNT mentions the donkey show.
Hey, we got to make one mention before we forget. And Brett Vito couldn't be with us tonight because we're doing some new stuff with our software and everything else. So, he will be back next week for sure. We did have a big basketball commitment come up, and we may do a dedicated basketball show, get Tasty Greek on here, get Brett, you know, get some of the experts. But the good news is we did get a player named Greg Wesley. And I got to tell you, Evan, I don't know if you've seen some of the video of this guy. It's on GoMeanGreen.com. But he is tall, he is athletic, and he can absolutely jump out of the gym. And what I love about this signing is this guy had offers from a lot of big schools. But the two most important are he had offers from SMU and TCU. So that's always nice when you can get a guy here that's a local guy from, I think, the Arlington area. He goes to Seguin High School. And you can get him to commit to Tony Benford's program. Looks like a great signing and a great addition to the team. So, kudos to Benford and staff for landing what looks like a really good basketball player.
Are we getting rid of anybody to put him in to make room for him, or is that that's been kind of the questions lately?
Well, the bottom line is you can debate on whether everybody that we've got right now is going to be here next year and everything else, but at the end of the day, you want to keep bringing good quality players into the program. This guy looks like one. I think he was like the 17th best player rated in Texas. Mike Kunstadt does the Texas Hoops website, and he loves the kid, thinks that he's a really, really good addition. So, again, I'm not a basketball expert, but this looks, from the outside looking in, like this is going to be a real good signing for us.
Yeah, it's exciting stuff. Everybody's starting to get excited. You know, the athletic department sent out the information about the Midnight Madness.
It's an event on October. Is it October 15th, I believe? Somebody in the chat room can confirm it. But that's cool. And we're not trying to shift people away from football. Football season, we got a lot of football season left to play. But it is kind of neat to know in the back of your mind that basketball season's right around the corner. in this basketball team on paper. They hadn't played a game yet, but on paper, you know, with Tony Mitchell, Jordan Williams, Chris Jones, you know, Patton. I mean, you just go down the list of all the names on this team. Boy, it sure looks like it could be a very exciting season. And then we got the preseason NIT that I know some people have already approached me about getting together and going to some of those games. They start off in Manhattan against Kansas State, but that's a big deal. That's not something we've had an opportunity to do before. I mean, hey, basketball is going to be fun.
They're already calling this out. Easy to look forward to basketball after the Troy game.
Wow.
Well,
it's true. I mean, but no, really. I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, but we actually did bring that up. With that, Harry, anything else we're going to talk about? Because, I mean, we beat the horse the other night after the game pretty soundly. So we,
you know, my last thing I want to leave with is, hey, that was a lot of fun. I really appreciate, again, the athletic department letting us do it. We look forward to doing it again. And that's something that, you know, is neat to be able to kind of immediately go with your feelings as a fan right there on the postgame show right after George and Hank are through. So I'm excited about having that as a new piece of our repertoire.
Yeah, I think it'll be great. So hopefully everybody will watch the game this weekend. We won't be doing a post-game show for the Florida Atlantic. Houston's still up in the air. We kicked it around a little bit, but we don't know about that one. But then definitely for the Tuesday night game, we'll be doing it. Hope everybody can watch it. Don't forget it's on ESPN3 this week, or go up to Rudy's. If there's any other watching shows for other parts of the Metroplex or area, we'll let you know. Keep it on gomeangreen.com. No Brett Vito tonight, but I'm sure you can peruse his fine work at the DRC's website and read his blog. You can also, on the front of gomeangreen.com, check out the Twitter feeds for the football players to find out what craziness they're getting into as we follow their Twitter feeds. So with that, we will let you guys go, and we will see you next week. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.